One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards.
Yep.
Dow knows that picking an everyday red wine can be tricky, and they make that easy with 2018 Dow Central Coast Pinot Noir. Backseaters can enjoy exclusive access and free shipping on orders of three or more bottles with promo code PASSO at dowvineyards.com/don't-make-me-come-back-there. That is promo code PASSO at dowvineyards.com/don't-make-me-come-back-there. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I am a former stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. Mm-hmm. And alongside me, bouncing off a satellite from his house down to mine, is Stephen English, also former stand-up comedian, current co-host and producer of this podcast. And finally, a month into this, rocking worse facial hair than me.
Yeah.
But
I got the conquistador.
But it is real bad. It looks like what it does is it makes it look like your facial hair looks like a mouth that is open. It needs to close. It looks it looks like oh man!
I told Dorothy I look like a guy that got out of prison, and now I just go run to schools to keep like telling kids how to keep out of prison. You know, like I turned it around, but the prison is definitely on my face.
It looks like if Guy Fawkes was a cholo is what it looks like. Guy Fawkes was a cholo is what it looks like. It looks like. That's probably the best I got. An open mouth and if Guy Fawkes is a cholo. How do you say it? Fawk? You know who I'm talking about. What's his name again? How do you say it?
Guy Fawkes?
Remember. Yeah. We got it. Anyways, welcome to our little podcast and thanks for tuning in, everybody. Today, we have another very fun quarantined episode with a return front seater. We have Irene Walton. I bet you didn't know that was our guest. Did you know? Yeah. Irene is one of my favorite people and a great guest, great return guest that we've had here on the podcast.
Former Fly Girl on In Living Color.
Fly Girl?
Yeah, she was a Fly Girl on Living Color is what I've heard. Through the grapevine.
I don't think Irene was a former Fly Girl.
I think she was. That's what I've heard.
No.
The word on the street is she was a Fly Girl.
Not that I recall, but she is very funny and very talented. She has you can follow her on all the various socials. She's an amazing cook. And she does a couple of really fun different things, like on our YouTube channel. She has a YouTube series called Dead Dad's Kitchen, which is really fun. Yeah, it's great. Very catchy. Much more catchy than Don't Make Me Come Back There.
Right.
And if you recall from the first time that we had Irene on, Irene and I is when we coined the term social influenza as opposed to social influencer. But Irene is not a social influenza. She's a social influencer.
Right.
And she's very funny on all her various platforms and very talented. So give her a follow. You can give her a follower on Instagram at Homemade by Irene. Go subscribe to her YouTube channel.
Right.
Watch her videos. Buy food from her back when we're allowed to do that and enjoy this chat. We had a nice little chat. We did it earlier today. We zoomed and brought to you by Mazda. And we got on a fun rant and side tangent about nicknames and how people get the various nicknames and how you want a good one. You know, you don't want to get stuck with a bad nickname and went through the various nicknames the two of us have had and what our family has. And then maybe ask you, I didn't know. So, that point made me want to ask you, cause you're Stephen English. You went by CT English for a while. I believe
that was a self-given
stage
name.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when we all went through our most recent iOS updates on our phones, we, you know, you got the little thing that gave you the option to update your contact.
Oh, right, right, right.
And it came with the picture that that person had chosen and so on and so forth. And yours, I just hit update. You were saved as Stephen English, and then I think maybe the poo emoji. I don't remember what I put there. But then you switched over to Pootie English.
Right.
Pootie English. Pootie, why?
That was just everyone in my family. All the kids were Pootie until the next one came, and then they were Pootie, and I was the last one. So I was Pootie until very recently. Like my dad.
You're the youngest only, in.
Yeah. My dad only called me Pootie until I was probably about 23 or 24.
As in like poo? Like poop? Is it? No. Is that what it was?
No, I think it's just a nickname. It's just like a fan. Just like a, like, you know, like Pootie Tang.
You know, but that thing that you should be calling a young child.
Yeah, and it's just, but it was just Pootie, P-O-O-D-I. This one was the D, and mine was with the D, but it was just Pootie. And Doll of Dorothy's nieces and nephews called me Uncle Pootie, and it's just, Uncle? Yep.
Yeah, I don't like it. so is that what Siri calls you?
I mean, I don't know, actually. I should tell it to call me that, yeah.
Siri calls me Captain Steve Rogers. That's true. That is.
Oh, that is sad.
No, it's great. Especially right now when every once in a while you just need a win. You know, right. You'd be like, hey, can you set the alarm for 8 a.m.? Like, the alarm is set for 8 a.m., Captain Steve Rogers. And I'm like, I'm glad that happened. It feels good. I went for the full name, too. I didn't want...
Right.
Because that's... Captain Steve Rogers is what I would feel like he would be given that... That's what they would call him when he'd be given like an award, you know?
Right. His purple hearts.
Yeah, exactly. Like Captain America is what the news and the media would call him.
Right.
Cap is what most people called him.
Right.
Steve would be, you know, if he was getting some Pootie English, what they would call him. Yeah. But Captain Steve Rogers is the formal title that I enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy it too. I enjoy it. I came back around. I thought I was sad. Now I think it's great. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think you should do it. I think everyone should call you that. That should be your new stage name.
Everyone's that should be my new stage.
Everyone's forgotten about you, so you could reinvent yourself. That's the best part about this quarantine.
Impossible to forget about someone you never remembered. It is. One thing that me and everyone who's ever heard me do stand-up has in common is that we have both forgotten my act. I have no idea. Nobody...
You should start robbing banks. I feel like if you went in there, people would have a really hard time describing. They'd just be like, I don't know.
Oh yeah, robbing banks.
They'd just be like, I'd be a white guy. Like, I don't know. Like, how are they gonna describe you, you know?
Yeah, keep it going for that's funny. I thought you were doing a joke, a name joke.
No, I'm saying
I've told you that joke before, right? That's like my dad's ultimate dad joke. Is that we have some cousins with the last name Banks, and they were trying to decide on the child's name, and my dad was like, "You should name him Robin," and he like held in, like he did his best to hold in the dad joke smirk, and he did not hold it in. We're like, "Oh, it's probably the loudest we've ever groaned collectively." Right. Like there was a beat, and then like the momentum of the groan pushed him out of the room.
Just slid right out.
Yeah. But you are right. I should probably shave this beard because they'd be like, really bad beard. And,
right, that's true. Because it looks fake. It looks like a fake beard. So you could just then need to be like, he had like a weird fake beard on and he just was just generally a white dude. And you would just get away with it.
You know, I talked to, I did a little FaceTime with former front seater and stand-up comedian James Schrader the other day.
Yeah.
And he told
good
me,
beard on that
he
guy.
Goes... Really good beard, and he actually encouraged me in my beard. He said, he goes, don't let Steven bully you. And he goes, he essentially said, like, Chris Pratt has made $1 billion with a worse beard than that.
Mm.
And I started looking into it, and he's right. Chris Pratt has a very similar bad beard as me.
Right, but he also has the rugged jawline of a movie star, you know?
He does now.
That's true. That's very true.
He didn't when he was on Parks and Rec.
Right, right. He did it when he was a 10,000-aire, but now that he's a multi-millionaire, yeah.
Yeah. I did. You told me to do a review of Onward. I did. Did you see the video?
I didn't see it.
I did the joke that, you know, Tom Holland and Disney is so powerful that it won't let Chris Pratt be fat and it won't let Tom Holland be British. Like the world doesn't know that Tom Holland is British. I told that to Melissa. She didn't know. She's like, does he have like a little low key accent? No, I was like, no, he has a thick British accent.
He's the new Idris Elbows.
Yeah, exactly. When you hear it, you're like, oh gosh, shut up, Spider-Man. You know it so well, his English accent, that you assume when he's speaking with his native tongue that he's like, oh. Yeah. Oh, is he auditioning for the new Doctor Who? He's not. And he does it really well, because like when you hear Benedict, you're like, you can tell that's a British guy trying to. He's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know who he's actually probably more I would compare it to is Christian Bale. When you hear Christian Bale use his British accent, you're like, oh, what?
Yeah. That sounds like the character. Yeah, that sounds like the character he's doing. It's like real.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's why he was so bad at yelling as Batman.
He just got out of control. He just went back to,
Rachel! Yeah, he just like, you know, it's one thing to be able to speak in a foreign tongue. It's quite another to, in a foreign accent, quite another to be able to gargle yell.
Right. Super hard to fart in a different accent, too, I've noticed.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's hard to, it's, you know, you've, like a Spanish fart really rolls like their R's.
Right.
You know, and... The a German fart is a lot of short syllables.
Very short staccato, yeah.
Staccato, yeah.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. I did a lot of Danish farts, which is just, this is like, you know, something like that. Grown man with a kid. Two kids. Grown with two kids.
Yeah. I do mostly Canadian farts. They sound mostly American, except for a couple words.
And then they apologize afterwards?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly that's what a Canadian fart is. I always say sorry afterwards.
Sorry.
You guys, I'm so sorry, backseaters, for this podcast. But, you know, Steven and I haven't touched each other's faces in a while.
Yeah, I'm drinking my editor juice.
Yeah, well, not me. I'm drinking a glass of Dow because I'm loyal to our sponsors. But I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast and hanging in there. Please continue to shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com, letting us know, former front seaters you'd love us to catch up with and see how they're doing in quarantine. And also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/don'tmakemecomebackthere, if you want some more exclusive content, way for you to give a little to the podcast and get a lot from it. Check it out. The full video of this podcast with Irene is available to all of our patrons. So, you know, sign up if you want to check that out.
Get it going.
All right, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man. Thank you for doing, you know, what you do.
Yeah. I will remember you. All right, man. Be well.
See you, man.
Here we are. Wave to the happy patrons.
Hello, everybody.
Everybody. I like that we had not been on this call with functioning audio for 30 seconds before you took some shots at my room. Thanks for coming.
Well, it was very messy. Mm. I put on my favorite shirt for you. It's That's a picnic.
That is.
Yeah. It's got like a hat and sandwiches and like, what else? A ladybugs and a burger and a piece of pie. I stole it from my grandmommy's closet.
Oh, that makes me like it even more.
And there's matching shorts, but I don't have those on.
You don't have any. Shorts or pants or any on at all. Never.
Exactly right. Exactly. I'm not matching.
Yeah.
But I could, which is what matters.
Like, you mean the pattern to those shorts is the same as that shirt?
Absolutely. Like, it looks like I'm wearing a onesie.
Oh, you said this was your whose?
Well, at my grandmommy. And so, like, they're grandmommy shorts. So they're, like, down to, like, mid-knee.
Yeah. Yeah, they're it's that same like format or size of what their bathing suits were.
Exactly right.
Like when you see old bathing suits, it's like, and it's spectacular. It's like, you are wearing a suit. You're wearing a little suit. You're wearing, wearing what the Angus Young, the guitar player for AC/DC, wears on stage. And suit is what you're wearing to have it. And they're a lot of time they're wearing like little head. I don't know.
There's like a head with like little flowers pasted to it. I also feel like the transition from little suit, bathing suit, to just hardcore bikini, like, was very quick.
It did. It happened. They got rid of a lot of cloth in a short period of time.
They sure did.
It's funny when you talk about, people talk about how, like, fashion is cyclical, you know, like, it all comes back. That's not true. Not everything comes back.
for good reason.
I
feel like after quarantine a lot of people will probably want those very full coverage bathing suits, myself included.
That's they say you can't get it from water, right?
Well, yeah, but I'm just trying to cover up a lot of the goldfish graham crackers I've been eating.
That's what you mean. Everybody's gonna be out in Spanx suits.
Big time.
Yeah, that would be really funny if the first time that, like, the return to pools, say everything's like back and people are going on vacations, or like you, like, you're at a pool in Vegas and everybody's wearing wetsuits. Just
what have you been eating? What's been your go-to snack? Because you have kids, so you have an excuse to have like Pringles in the house.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, there's well, each day, so, like, the local, like, high school, like, gives out, like, meals each day.
You steal them as a grown adult man?
The whole family. Just me. I roll up on a bike and a scooter. And so we go. So some of the snacks have been, like, whatever's in there. And I forgot. So my kids are in elementary and middle school. I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you do, because high school wasn't that long ago for you, and B, you appreciate food. The jump from the quality of food from middle school to high school is like a jump from like a Waffle House, you know, to like a 4-star restaurant. It's crazy how much better the food gets.
It is. What? So the thing was, I went to an LAUSD school, so we were very poor, which kind of just like fit in with the rest of my life. So it didn't seem very weird. But then I would talk to kids who went to like Las Virgenes and stuff, and they would be like, yeah, there's a Pizza Hut in our cafeteria and a Subway and like a Starbucks. And like, so that blew my mind. Yeah. But like, I still want, like, I have been lucky enough to like eat a lot of very good food. I try to make very good food, but like one of the best things I've ever eaten is still that coffee cake from like school cafeterias. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh gosh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So good.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it's something about the way that they make it with no regard to quality, just makes it taste, they'll just be like, should we put more butter? Absolutely.
Yes. Is it even butter? Should we just put more of this liquid fat? Which was my nickname in high school. So it really comes all full circle.
That was my band name, was liquid.
Were you ever in a band?
I was in bands in like...
Okay, brag.
Yeah, mostly my jazz band. No, I was in jazz band in high school.
What'd you play?
I played bass.
Stand bass or the bass bass?
Both. So I started in orchestra, and so I could play that. I was never really in bands. I was in friends who would play in garages, and every once in a while would play like an assembly or some little, you know, like community event.
Would you play bass in those ones too?
I played bass in those ones too.
What was the best name?
Of the bands we were in, we had one named All in All. I always liked that band name. That's a very, like, because you gotta understand, this was like, so like I was in Seattle, like the music that I was most into was that like punk scene right after grunge, you know. So I would like just listen to all like the Punk-O-Rama albums and, you know, Rancid, and like that was like, I mean, I definitely appreciated grunge, but everything after that was, and we were all just, it was so funny because it was like, little middle schoolers and high schoolers like hating the man, but also I was an ASB, you know.
You're like, get a hall pass before you leave.
I was like, I was running for vice president, but I also had a rage sticker on my back. You're rage patch, you know.
Support. Was it okay? Big question. Was it sewn on or ironed on?
It was sewn on, absolutely. Because my
there
sister,
he is. Not
me, by my sister. Yeah, my of sister. Oh, so. Those are funny memories. I always feel like, I don't know if you're cool and I'm not. So, but I always,
that's incorrect, but appreciated.
I've always done the things that like, were like not quite as like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like I didn't play guitar. I played bass.
Yeah.
I didn't skateboard. I rollerbladed. I never like learned how to ski or wakeboard. I knew.
But I loved the sleds.
No, I knew on water. I'm saying I knew how to kneeboard. You know, like it was just always the most.
You're like the low budget version of doing the cool thing.
Everything. Everyone would be like, okay. I mean, I guess that's cool. So it was never you to be a cool bass player. You really have to be so good, or just be in a very famous band,
or yeah. Have very cool hair.
Yeah, well...
Which you were none of.
I mean, once upon a time, there were some, you know, bleach tips, but that was all of us. That was
you
all.
You have pictures?
I'm sure out there somewhere. Yeah.
Okay. You're not wearing glasses. I just noticed.
Yeah, well, I only need glasses when I need to see something that's far away, and I don't, you know, you're close here, and I wear them, like, when we drive to go get the free food at high school, and that's... That's it. I can't wear them in the grocery store because I don't know.
They fog up your...
Yeah.
I wear blue light blockers, but I've been wearing them a lot just because I feel cute in them.
That's fine. Well, there is a real like pressure to what we're presenting from waist and above on, because like people are watching Instagram stories and videos, like wait, I feel a bigger pressure of how I look in those. I mean, you wouldn't,
oh, yeah.
You wouldn't tell based on...
No, of course not.
Nastiness, but
I like the beard on you.
Yeah, that's only because you're kind. You're a very kind person who has only been critical of me one time in my life, and that's when I asked if you liked my new wallet.
No, I've been critical of you way more than that.
Well, at least not to my face.
No, yes to your face. One of the funniest, do you have those moments? And if you do, I want to hear what they are. Where like, maybe this is going to make me sound so sad. Great mind. Do you have those moments where if you're like having a bad day, you think of the thing that's like made you laugh so hard that you like can't breathe and then it makes you laugh again?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You're a couple of those moments actually. And so one of them was when I was on the last time I got to be on your podcast, I was... I was describing my dad, and I was like,
"Oh yeah,
he's really short. He's like kind of stocky. He's 5'7", and you're like, "Oh, does he wear flannels every day and have glasses?"
Yeah.
So I'm critical of you all the time.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot about that. You were insulting your dad, and then I was like, this is just, like, you're reading my bio. Like,
and it perfectly aligned with you.
Yeah, if me and your dad were, like, video game characters, we would have the same description. You know, like, if you toggled in between us, there'd be no height differential. You'd be like, wait, were those the same? Maybe the same.
Just you in a flannel and him in cargo shorts.
Exactly. We're like, I was going to do a Street Fighter reference, but I don't know if you would have gotten it. So.
You know what exactly would have happened? I would have pretended to get it and been like, oh my God, totally.
Because you're very
Naruto
kind.
Is like that all the time.
Well, what I was going to say, going back to that, my like go-to snacks have just been whatever's around that or there, and then either whatever we get from there, which like that's gonna say they send home like kettle chips, like good stuff, you know, like,
oh, with the matte bags.
Yeah they got they send home some mini donuts, breakfast burritos. I mean, there's been some good.
I didn't,
this wasn't at my high school either.
You're cleaning up.
We're going to the rich high school.
Okay, you got that San Diego high school money.
So, but then just personally, I eat like a little, it's a weird combo, I admit it, but my favorite little medley snack, aside from chips and salsa, which is the best of the snacks, but
tortilla chips.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What
yeah.
kind of tortilla chips?
What did you think I was? What? No. I like an oven baked barbecue chip. I like a sour cream and Pringle for my.
I meant what kind of tortilla chip?
Oh, that I'm not super picky about. That's kind
of. So it could be blue corn, could be white. Exactly. Could be, got it.
I get whatever's around. Whatever was
love
on.
It.
Yeah. I really like almonds and yogurt covered raisins. I don't know.
Like a little fancy trail mix boy. A
little. Fancy trail mix boy.
That would be, if you weren't married and didn't have a happy family, that would be your Tinder bio.
Yeah. Fancy trail mix boy.
Spelled fancy trail mix boy, 5'8".
Yeah.
Stocky.
Spelled B-O-I.
Yes.
It's a nice little salty sweet. That's all.
So it's not a raw almond. It's a salted, roasted almond.
Roasted almond. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Fancy.
What about you? What are you?
So I just, so much content.
It feels less like I'm eating and more like I'm consuming. I eat.
Yeah.
Bored. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I just did a video where I like asked people for their favorite quarantine snacks and then I tried them, but it was really just a ploy to allow myself to buy Ruffles like 4 times. Cause which by the way, I filmed the video 4 days ago and I have already finished like 4 bags of chips. And so that's precisely why I don't get them.
Right.
But like, so I tried that. So there was a lot of like chips, salsa, trail mix, Sour Patch Kids, like just a lot of like normal stuff. But then some people get a little like interesting. So it was cool to try their stuff. A lot of people have been liking, like now myself included, like a cracker. So here's the thing. Here's the conclusion I came to. I hope you have some time.
I do. I have.
So I had 2 separate people say, one person, person A, said a Wheat Thin, a smear of cream cheese, and a sliced jalapeno.
Really?
Yes. But then a separate person said a Ritz, a smear of cream cheese, and a slice of jalapeno.
Oh.
Hold on.
Okay.
You fool. First of all, I also had that reaction, so I can't be that mad. But like, I thought it was going to be so gross. But then when I realized that, I was like, oh, it's kind of just like a jalapeno popper, sort of.
Right, right.
But it's, first of all, delicious.
Yeah.
And secondly, with the Wheat Thin, you get to focus more on the cream cheese and the jalapeno, and the Wheat Thin is more of like a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the Ritz, the Ritz is more of like a textural experience, and I think it kind of all melds better.
Yeah.
But if you're just like trying to get some cream cheese in your face, I'd go Wheat Thin. But yeah, so that's what I've been up to.
It sounds a lot like a redneck hors d'oeuvre.
Exactly right.
It sounds like something that my Uncle Butch would have put out as like a fancy appetizer.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
You had an Uncle Butch?
Oh no, I didn't just have an Uncle Butch. I was like raised by him. He was like when my parents split when I was like 5 or 6.
I remember.
Thank you. Yeah, he moved in. So it was my dad's brother. So Uncle Butch moved in downstairs and put his guns on the wall and took over the downstairs. And
Uncle Butch.
Yeah. So my dad would like go into work super early, and Butch was just he was supposed to like get us ready to go to school and stuff, but he was just a body in the house. He was,
he was simply there.
Yeah, he lived up to the reputation that an Uncle Butch would too. He lived and drank so hard, and the biggest, like, most gregarious personality. And yeah, he was a. It's like a lot of, because you know that's not his God given name, you know. But to be given the name Butch, you gotta earn it. Live up to, yeah. And then
that's like getting the name Bubba.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is, and that's part of the reason that I go by Dustin and not Dusty, because I feel like Dusty is a whole thing.
You're completely correct, and I never realized that.
Yeah, those are different people. Those aren't
like when you get drunk, do people call you Dusty?
No, when people get drunk, they'll call me Dusty, and I'll and I'll do my best to not respond to it. So
that's smart.
Do you get any? Irene's pretty right down the middle as far as names go. I mean, I know it's a unique name, but there's no like nicknames that come with it, right?
Well, so I'm named after my dad's mom, who I never got to meet, unfortunately, but her name is Irene. And it's funny, they always called her Big Irene, but she was 4'11", and I'm like 5'7". So, like, yeah. It's just cute. But his dad always called her I, like, just the first letter.
Okay.
But then my dad always called me Reenie, and my brother calls me Reen. And then lately... Which, like, I don't like to admit, but I love nicknames so much. So, like, the fact that this has been catching on has made me so happy. Like, some of my friends call me Reenie, and then my boyfriend calls me, for a while he called me Reenie Babini, but now it's just been shortened to Beanie, which I think is very cute.
That's great and fitting.
Yeah, but my secret is... I've always desperately been wanting to be called by my last name, just like as a first name, like baseball vibes.
Yeah,
which I think would be so cool, but it's truly never caught on.
Yeah, yeah, there has to be a sports background there somewhere.
Yeah,
by your last name, or military.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, but also it's never fun if you have to create your own nicknames. So it won't stick.
I know when you were saying that you love the nicknames and you got one, I was like, how did you make it happen? Did you Inception style get in a dream and plant? Like,
I think my brother was at a party with me and my friend, me and a couple of my friends, and he has always called me Reenie. Like, that's always been a family nickname. And so I think they just heard him call me Reenie, and I remember my friend Gabby being like, oh, that's cute. I'm going to call you Reenie. And I was like, yeah. But really, I was like, oh my God, crazy.
Oh, okay. Whatever you think. You didn't want to come on too strong. You didn't yeah, that's it is like, with nicknames, there's like, you want to get one that you really like, you know, because there's like my Uncle Butch, he had a kid that they were all named James. There was three Jameses. There was, you know, James, Uncle, and he went by Jim. And then James, they kept getting more ridiculous. And then James Jr. went by Butch. And then James, the youngest, was called Tater.
Do you, please tell me, you know, like the epidemiology? Is that the right word?
Oh, I don't know. That's a big word.
Oh, let me check. Well, while you tell me the story, will you tell me how that name came to be?
Apparently it's from a show, some old show where somebody was named Tater. It wasn't, and he just got it as a kid. Maybe he looked like him as a kid, something like that. I don't. But he didn't like that nickname, surprisingly.
Of course not. Yeah.
It is. By the way, this is like I don't know. Sometimes people knowing me and then knowing where I'm from, there'll just be things that come up. They're like, they don't quite realize how redneck trashy my family is. And start throwing Butch and Taters around, you know?
Wait, so just so I know, because now I'm trying to wrap my head around the redneckness of it.
Yeah.
There was a mom and a dad who named all three of their sons James?
No. It was a grandpa to grandson.
Okay. Grandpa,
their son.
I was like, because that's a whole other story.
No, there was a mom and dad that did what they did was they had five kids and then they did the same letters, you know?
Oh, sure.
So they did Darla, Donna, Dodie, Donald, and then James, who would become Butch.
Poor James.
It is so funny how parents get into the name thing with the letter.
Dude, oh my God. I used to babysit for a family where it was like the first kid's name was Zachary. The second kid's name was Zoe. And then they had a third kid and they're like, Olivia.
Yeah.
And I was like, could you not think of another Z? And they're like, oh yeah, no, very hard letter. We don't know why we did that.
We're going to do the X's. We got Xavier. We're done. Don't get any siblings. I'm sorry. We can't. I don't know. I wonder where that even comes from. It seems like a very old school thing of just like when your name, like your name, like meant like you were like categorized by your name. You're like, all right, those, your first name almost meant the same as your last name, you know, like,
yeah,
this is how we identify you as your group, and your name, we're gonna name you based on your job. You don't have to create a mechanism for naming your children. Just name them whatever the heck you want to
name them. Just name them something good. Did you ever hear about that experiment where they name one kid loser and one kid winner, and like what happens to them?
No.
It's crazy.
These real kids, though?
Yes. This was like a real experiment that the family got paid like some exorbitant amount of money for.
Mm-hmm.
And they were twin boys. And I can't wait for one of your fans to be like, that never happened. but like, I've heard this so many times, like in all these like dumb psych classes that I've taken.
Yeah.
They were good. I don't know why I said that.
They were
trying to sound cool. Yeah, so like there's one kid named Winner and one kid named Loser, and then the loser obviously is like addicted to drugs and dies, and then the winner is like a CEO or something.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like very apparently like your name is super dependent on like how far you get in life.
Really? That's well, sorry, Tater.
Oh, what a killer nickname.
You're gonna when you I mean, I don't know, I if you want to, but if and when you have some kiddos, your love for nicknames is gonna benefit them. You're gonna call them, because it's so fun to give your kids nicknames.
I bet. So you have kids, so here's my question. So I've like babysat forever, and I do want kids. And there's this family, the one that we recorded the podcast at last time, the Shapiros. I have been with those little girls. Like, we've been family friends for so long. And so I have nicknames for them and stuff, but like, how does a nickname happen for a kid? Like, what are your kids' nicknames?
Yeah. Well, it's a mix between what you give them and then what they give each other. You know,
did your kids give each other?
Well, that's a mix. So Joel is our oldest, and he, as the oldest, you know, he didn't really get any time for, he was, you know, of them to give him nicknames. So he's Joel, or I call him Jay, or I call him by his last name a lot, Nickerson, you know.
That's your last name.
Exactly. It applies to anyone in the house.
So then when somebody doesn't come, you can be mad at anyone.
It is interesting that it applies to anyone, but he's the only one that gets called it.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's sometimes, it's cute. and then the girls call him Jolie, so he gets that, which is a little sweeter. Yeah.
That's sweet tease.
And then our middle child, Gloria. Gloria has the two girls have a wide range of nicknames. Gloria is Gloria, obviously, or G, that's a common, or Lala, that's one of the cutest ones. G-Funk.
She's the middle child. She needs something. She gets the cutest nickname.
She does. She has Lala and G-Funk, which I think are two great names. And then what when I talk about them giving names, the youngest couldn't say her name Joel couldn't say her name when she was first born. He called her Gola. So she gets called Gola every once in a while.
I always think that that's a very cute start to a nickname. It's right? like if a grandpa is called like Goop Goop or something like that. I always think that's so sweet.
There was like that. Like at some point you should have gotten Iween, right? Like there had to be some kid that couldn't do the R. Right?
It's always been Iween a lot of the little girls that I babysit call me Reenie, but it's very cute because it's like a little like 8-year-old who has a lisp who's like Weenie. It's very precious. But like, my dad always called, my dad called me stinky and fatty. he would call me like after school or something, and I would have the short thought to put him on speaker, and he would be like, "Hey, Stinky, when are you coming home tonight?" And I was like, "Damn it." And then Fatty was the more hurtful of the two. Then my brother hopped onto that one also. But then when he died, they kind of faded away. So that's the silver line.
if you happen to put on weight, you're thinking even more about your dad.
Yeah, exactly. So after quarantine, I'm just gonna be a wreck.
This is even more depressing than normal. I mean, I'd be sad if I was putting on weight anyways. Now it's...
Wait, what's your youngest nickname? I'm so sorry. I totally interrupted you.
No, I don't care.
I don't care about her.
No. she's the baby, and so her nicknames are the most that got taken to space. You know, so her name is Claire.
E or no?
Yes, at the end. Do Claire without an E?
I guess. I don't know. I don't even know why I asked.
Claire DeLune. So her name is Claire. Of course, she goes by C. So when she was a little one, she was a real drooler, as babies are. And she had to wear a bib. And so they started started calling her Bib. Or whatever.
Do you call them the olders?
We call them the bigs is what we call them usually. So the bigs started calling her Bib. And very much like a pet, when you have like one nickname, then that
it like
branches out to it. So
Bibsky, Bibskadoos.
She's Bib. She's Bibbin. She's Bibbin Baggins. That one's my favorite.
Wait, how old is she now?
She's six. Yeah, Bibbin Baggins, just a million derivatives.
Baggin strips.
Yeah, exactly. But I would say she probably goes, her most common nickname is Bibbin, which to an outsider, they're like, what?
You're like, it's Claire. Hello.
Meanwhile, Melissa has, you know, Mel, which is easy, and then I don't have any name. So.
And they say, sir.
Yeah, they don't talk to me. They don't.
What do you and Melissa call each other? Like, what are y'all's pet names for each other?
I call her Mel, which is not particularly interesting.
That's not cute at all.
And then, I don't know how lovey-dovey that we want to get onto this, but I call her Moonlight, based on some memories that we have together. And her little emoji on my phone is the moon.
I want you to know, I don't know if you can see it, but I am about to actually.
It's a good one. It took away, and it's
so beautiful. I want to die, Dustin. No one's ever going to love me the way you love her.
It's so beautiful. I want to die.
Because I'll never experience that. Oh my God. That's very cutesy bear.
Well, thank you.
What'd she call you? Like shitbag?
A-hole. yeah. What are you doing here?
Who are you?
She calls me, stop calling me Moonlight.
She calls you, get away from my children.
Yeah, exactly. She calls me not now. I don't have time for this. I don't.
She calls me, I have a headache.
Yeah, exactly. it's such a, those so easy jokes. The wife hates me jokes are the easiest jokes.
It's just the only time it's funny is when the couple's happy. And like, I know you guys actually love each other. It's like not a fun time when they're like, yeah, she hates me. It's like, I know.
I know. And you're locked in a house together. How's that going? Yeah. Are you quarantined with your boo? Did you guys live together or are you separate?
No, we're separate. He is over on the west side, but since we've been seeing each other like you know, ever since this started, it's still like safe to interact. I'm quarantined with my best friend and my roommate, Christy.
Okay.
So that's been really nice. And she works from home and I'm obviously unemployed. And so every time every time she like comes out for lunch, I'm like, hello. She's like, hey. And at like 5:01, I'm at her door, like with a glass of wine. She's like, no, thank you. I need to like be a person.
It's like you can really love your group, but at the same time, you're just like, okay, so in my normal, like I was like texting my buddy Zoltan today and I was like,
Zoltan!
Hey. Yeah, I was like, hey man, do you like just want to come over and stay 6 feet apart and make some old fashions? I need
to see someone and not just go like this.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It makes you appreciate just like, hey, I don't like a lot of people, but the ones I like, I really like. I really.
Well, see, that's the thing is like, I mean, you know me for a while now. Like, I'm so extroverted that this is like truly tearing me apart from the inside out. And I know that sounds dramatic, but like I'll be on my balcony, like having a beer or something, and someone will walk by. I'm like, how was your day? And they're like, fine. But some people are really sweet and they're like, it's good, how are you? Da-da-da-da-da. So yeah. I like that.
Yeah, are you going for like walks or runs or going out much or
runs? Thank you for thinking that. I love walking. Like I walk as often as I can anyway, and so the fact that you like can't really be outside aside from that, I've been really liking that. Michael, my boyfriend, will go on like super late night walks where it's really fun. Like it's kind of eerie, but like we'll walk in the middle of like Sunset Boulevard for 15, 20 minutes before a car comes. Like it's insane. Wow. So it's like all these cool experiences. But it's very strange, but yeah, I've been like trying to get outside sometimes. How about you guys?
Have you noticed that when you're out, like people are very wavy? Like people.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the thing is like, that's my favorite part of this whole thing is that I think people have started to appreciate just like other people in the world more, which I have always been one to wave to people. I've always been one to like try to strike up a conversation in line and stuff. And most of the time people are like, yeah, for sure. But now everyone's like, I know, it's so crazy. Like, did you end up getting toilet paper? And I'm like loving every second of it.
As you pet yourself.
I'm like, I did. Thank you.
I think it's that we're all in this together mentality. Because what binds humans is shared experiences, right? And so you and I have created a friendship because you've been at some of my shows and we've done the podcast and we've hung out, like we've created and we've created a few things together, and like so we have shared experiences, and that's where friendships come from. And now we all have this incredibly unique shared experience that we really all are experiencing it together, which in a way that it's like a national tragedy. These are the things sometimes that happen, or like the way that like my dad talks about like the moon landing, you know?
Yeah.
Of like,
well, it's,
go ahead.
It's just, I'm sorry to interrupt.
You should be very excited.
It's just that it's like such a magical thing that I've never gotten to experience it. I mean, I know when 9/11 happened, there was sort of a similar feeling of solidarity. But like, I wasn't old enough to kind of understand what was happening.
We get it. You're young.
But like, it's just, to me, it's so crazy that like, I could be walking past a stranger and I could go like, and they would know exactly what that means.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just, it's insane. And I, as horrible as this whole thing is, obviously, I do really enjoy that people are kind of appreciating people and things and like jobs that people used to not be appreciative of before. Like, I've always tried to be cognizant of like sanitation workers and mail carriers and people who work at grocery stores, but like seeing how important those things are, like how they're the only ones that are getting us through this, is like insane.
Yeah.
And everyone took them for granted. Everybody was so used to it. You go to the pharmacy, you go to the store, you put your trash out, you pick your mail up.
Right.
But now those are the only things that are keeping us sane, pretty much. It's like getting to go to Trader Joe's twice a week.
Yeah, I think there'll be a real higher value on a lot of people in general and luxuries in general, like, you know, going out and being in places together. And
going to comedy shows. Like, that's like such a thing that to me was so, oh, it's Friday. Do I want to see a comedy show? Do I want to go to a restaurant? Oh, I'll just do both. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
And like, that's a really good way to put it, is it is such a luxury that like I never really considered before. I'd be like, oh, cool, that'll be fun. And now it's like, I get to see Dustin in a week, like, and be near people and like get a beer and sit.
Yeah. Near another person who's also doing the same thing.
Oh my gosh. Just so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope it comes back, and I hope it's a flock, but it'll be interesting to see if there's a hesitation for a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm curious about that too.
I think the other thing too is we're just going to be a more sanitary group of people.
Which will be nice.
Overall, that's a huge win.
You know? Big time.
I've spent some time in men's restroom, and not a lot of hand washing going on there.
Yeah, I've spent a good amount of time in men's restrooms too, and I gotta agree with you there.
Well, the lines get long, and
they sure do.
Yeah, when I'm at like a concert, and a girl comes in and puts her hood on or whatever, and sneaks into the stall, I'm like, respect. All right.
Oh, I never put my hood up. I'm like, excuse me, I have to pee now. And guess what? I'm also on my period. And then everyone leaves.
No guy gets mad though. They're just like, respect. You know?
Truly, I've literally never had a bad experience. Everyone's like, yeah, it's open. I'm like,
doesn't cost me anything. Yeah. Is it in your kind of on that that note? Not that note. The note before that. Is it your nature to like, when something like this happens, to like, are you one to like look for silver linings? Are you one who's like filled with like hope and optimism, or are you more like, you know, doomsday pessimistic? Like, what's kind of in your nature of how to respond? I mean, this one specifically, there's nothing like that, but what's, you know, how does your most natural way to react to this?
I think that my first and strongest instinct is like, is the silver lining hopeful aspect of it? And I think just because of like the stuff that I've been through and dealt with, like, I don't really, I think there's a very beautiful thing about not having another option. Like, when my dad died, I just knew I was going to be a little sad forever. Mm. And like, that's kind of cool. Like, it's not like when you go through a breakup and you're like, okay, I know it'll get better. I know it'll do whatever, blah, blah, blah. And you're waiting for this thing that you don't know when it's going to come, and you don't know how that's going to work out.
Right.
And you don't know what to do to get there. It's just like, this is the situation. You can either be sad and feel like a lump about it, or accept that there's some negative parts to it and like try to find the best things about it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm not so hopeful that like I don't realize this is a tragedy, and like I'm not like, well, you know what, everyone gets to clean their house, because like, right, some people, yeah, don't have a house, some people don't have food, some people have, yeah, a house that they're living in with their abuser, like, mm-hmm, sometimes it, for some people it sucks and they don't need to try to find a silver lining because it just sucks.
Period. Yeah.
But I have the privilege of being able to find that, of like having a roof over my head, having food, having friends, having people I can lean on and talk to. And so like, for me, it's definitely easiest and best for my own like mental well-being to look for the positive of it. But like, you know, I do think it's important to kind of live in that sadness for a little bit. Like, people are losing loved ones. People are getting kicked out of their homes. People are not eating. And so like, as much as I can do to help that, I want to. And then as much as I can do to help myself, I need to do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like a really healthy and helpful way to think about it. Like, I think that like part of the reason that, you know, Gal Gadot Imagine video had such a visceral negative response is you're like, listen, man, like, people are screwed right now. They don't need celebrities to sing Imagine to them.
Yeah. Is
help them.
It is very like, it just felt tone deaf, although it was obviously coming from a kind place. Like, it was just so like, okay, Kirsten Wiig, I'm sure you're having a really tough time.
I know. We all, like, you and I, like, have been around actors and actresses.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, that's what they're like.
But you know, it is funny because, like, I was thinking, it, you know, whoever, like, Ariana Grande, for example, like, as much as it, she does have millions of dollars, food for the rest of her life, a house, like all this stuff, like, you know, she's still accustomed to like going and touring and doing her stuff. And like, that can't, just because she has a ton of money doesn't mean it's easy for her, you know, like,
I don't know.
And so I also, as much as I would love to like, you know, talk a lot of smack about, they shouldn't have any complaints. Like,
right.
These people are probably going just as crazy. Like,
I don't think they shouldn't have complaints, because I think they do, because like anybody, like they do, you're like, oh, well, they have a ton of money. It's like, well, the way that they made money has stopped though. And so that means there's, I mean, people live at a certain lifestyle. And
exactly.
And artists who are touring right now, I feel, from not just from a financial standpoint, but you got to understand, part of the reason they're so successful is because what they do, they're so good at, because they're so passionate about it, and they don't get to do the thing that they're passionate about. You know, like, I don't love making memes and videos. It's what I'm doing because it's what I can do right now, but I want to do stand up, you know?
Yeah. Is there, like, how are you feeling about everything? Like, is, coming from somebody, as much as I would love for performance to like be my source of income and my career, like, I'm not quite there yet, but like, as somebody who is there, like, what do you feel like? What's your perspective on everything? Like, how's your head? How's your heart? Like, what are you feeling?
Right, right. I, you know, it's not really, I just kind of like, I just try and focus on the things that I can do. Because I'm not, this was like a thing, maybe like a change in personality a couple of years ago, where I was just like, I don't set any of my goals and aspirations on something that is under somebody else's control. I just can only, like, and when I always told Melissa, like, every time I'd get like a no from a booker or a TV thing, and there's, you know, for every yes, there's 99 no's. And yeah. I would just say, like, all I can do is my next set. Like, that's all I can do is just get on stage again. And there's just versions of that now, which are like, all I can do each day is just figure out what I want to do today as far as making content or coming with a joke or an idea or writing or planning. And, you know, these dates, they get postponed. And I go, okay, I don't, it's not in my nature to despair that they aren't going to happen then either, or to get overly hopeful that they are going to happen. I just
Like a June date could be that June date. It also maybe could be moved to September. Yeah. Like,
yeah. As long as I don't, the only thing that genuinely will discourage me is if I sit down and I crank out how much money this has cost me. That that gets like a little too real, and I'm like, too many zeros, too many.
And what was this pesky negative doing over here?
I know. It's a you know, I went from like, these are big months for comedy, because a lot of private events and people do a lot during the spring. And I was like, I did not think that instead of touring, You were going to be at my show last Wednesday, the Improv. Instead of headlining the Improv, I will be filing for unemployment. Thank you.
Well, I have a question. And I mean, I'm sure everybody knows this, but I just think that you are so gifted. I think you're such an incredible comedian and you're so creative. Do you think that, yourself included, the world of stand-up is going to, how, like, do you think sets will only be about quarantine, will only be about this tragedy?
Oh, interesting.
Like, what are your thoughts on where the world of jokes in comedy will be for the next year?
I think there'll be an acknowledgement up top, and then I think people will be done with it.
Yeah.
I think that it'll always, I think for a while, it'll be like a filter over your set.
Yeah.
Where it may not be the thing that you're talking about the whole time, but I bet you'll reference it. And I bet it'll be this kind of underlying tone sometimes, or that you'll come back to it a few times. I don't know, because I haven't written any of these jokes, but so many, our world has been impacted so dramatically in such a short period of time that you really can't just go. I mean, even things like airplanes, like, you can't, it's going to be a minute before your airplane material works a little bit, you know. Like, it's going to be
like, I know that one of my favorite comedians, Gary Goldman, he's like, how many times am I going to hear a joke about, I know I look like this person and this person had a baby, like,
right?
I feel like there's going to be so much of like, well, quarantine's over and I'm still sitting in my house. Like, okay. I'm so not I don't even know if I will have the wherewithal to like go see.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be like it is right now, like on socials, where it's a mix. Like, I put out a joke about like a stupid meme yesterday about quarantine, but I put out a video today that had nothing to do with it. You know, like, so there are just certain, or you know what, it didn't. Like, I did a review of a movie and I had one joke where I said, like, how dare you make a sad movie when there's a tissue shortage right now? That's what I mean by like, there's like an acknowledgement of the current situation, but not be like, man, COVID, you know, like, it's, you know, where it's going to be is, some comedians joke, like, that stuff's going to be working on the road for another 25 years, though. Like,
oh, for sure.
If you go to a comedy club in like Wichita anytime in the next 20 years and you cough, some road dog is going to be like, someone's got COVID, you know, get them a mask. Like, it's going to murder forever now. It's going to be. Because all they're going to do is replace, they were saying SARS a month ago, and now they just switched to COVID.
Now they got a new, because that, it was, maybe, you know, maybe this is all dependent on comedy scale. Like, you know, so the SARS joke finally got tired, and then Corona was like, I'm here for you.
I'm back, baby. What about your industry, though, of, like, food? Like, that's one that I've thought about, because people, there's our specific industries of like restaurant food, cooking, and comedy, live entertainment, devastated.
Oh, yeah. Like,
some people that this hasn't affected at all, and God bless you. But like, we, restaurants are like some of our favorite local restaurants, and we're trying to, you know, get takeout like once a week and stuff, but it's like, it's crazy. Like, you roll, like, how they're suffering, you know?
It's heartbreaking, especially because, like, you know, I've been in the food and hospitality and service industry for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. Like, since my first job was at a coffee bean, like, I've waited tables, I've hosted, I've bartended, I've catered, I've done everything that there is to do in the service industry. And it's because I love it. And this is just a quick aside. Like, I think that the trope of, like, you know, servers hating their jobs and people hating waiting tables, like, I think that's so antiquated, because, like, people, I'd say 75% of people are in the service industry because we like to serve, we like to do things, and it's always made me happy, truly. And of course, a job is a job, you get frustrated at times, but, like, I've literally, any time I walk up to a new table was a good time. Like, I love meeting new people. I love waiting on people. I love making people drinks. And at my current, well, not my current job, but my last job, I was like teaching people how to make cakes and decorate cookies and all these things. And I loved it so much. And so it was just like very, it's very sad. It's very devastating. And I work at like, you know, as much as it comes across as and is like a bakery that's filled with a lot of love, it's also a multi-million dollar company. Mm-hmm. And it's wrecked a lot of us. Like, they're still making stuff and sending packages and like making cakes, but like, I don't get to go into work. I don't get to teach people. I don't get to be around people. I don't get to be around food. And it's super sad. It sucks so much. And like, I know that I'm always going to be in the food industry, which I'm very grateful for. But like, it's just very sad to see so many people who I know love their jobs and love food and people and the integration of both that like just don't get to do it. And I mean, same for you. Like, performing isn't just a way to make a paycheck. You love it.
Oh, I mean, we both have jobs that were so bad at first that you had to like it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, it's, yeah, there's no, like, every once in a while, like, you'll run into someone who's like, I think I'm going to get into the comedy because, like, Kevin Hart makes a lot of money. You're like, yeah, that's adorable. You're adorable.
Yeah. You know? That's like, people, my brother's an actor too. And like, my grandparents will be like, well, why don't you just get a commercial? And yeah, he's like, of course.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
That's my grandma. You should go on Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, I should. You're right. Cooker has said no to me 3 times. So I don't know what to tell you. Jimmy Fallon would love you. Well, his Booker doesn't.
Well, Samantha in casting is a fan.
Well, how do you think then, maybe in your silver lining, you know, we'll end on a little Irene optimism. How do you view, or do you think there'll be in your world a strong rebound after this? Because I think that hospitality, what can waver this storm or weather this storm, when folks are allowed to flock, restaurants far more so than live, well, I shouldn't say live entertainment, but from stand up, but like, people cannot wait to get back to having drinks and sharing meals and being out with people in these gathering spots, because they're realizing that they mean so much more than the food. It's not about the food. It's about the meal. You know?
Yeah. It's about like you were saying earlier, the shared experience of getting to like sit and have a meal with 3 friends and then like eavesdrop on the couple behind you. And then like, look at all the people coming in and like see the cute bartender. And like, that's why I started working in restaurants, because I've always just like had such an affinity for people. And it's such this beautiful gathering ground of so many different types of people. And I think that, like, I think people are really seeing that, like, restaurants, small local businesses that have food or drinks or whatever are trying so hard to stay afloat, A, to make us feel comfortable, and B, to, like, you know, they got to make money too, but they're doing it in a way that's like, hey, like, the restaurant industry rallied for, I know this, the city of Los Angeles, I don't know if it's in other places, I think it is, to let takeout alcohol be a thing, because they're like, yo, this can really help our sales. We need to do this. And like, you know, even though it's not ideal, getting to like take home some like margaritas and a couple tacos and like share that at home because of the local like taqueria down the street is bringing some sort of comfort.
Absolutely.
And I think that people are gonna really remember that and appreciate that, like, we've always been here, and when you guys needed us most, we still tried our best to like do as much as we could.
Yep.
And I think, yeah, I mean, I really hope that people like come in droves and like go try new restaurants. And, you know, if they got takeout from a place that was open, maybe they love that place now. Yeah. And like, that's super exciting.
I think you're right. I think people are seeing that it does provide some amount of comfort. That fish taco I had on Saturday hit me in a lot of ways. It met a lot of different needs.
That's what I'm most excited for, is to just like go to restaurants again, to go get a drink, to go like just being near people and food is always where like I've felt the best. So I'm so looking forward to that. What about you? What's your like number one thing you want to do when everything's back to normal?
Stand up. I want to do stand up comedy. Yeah. But so we'll make a plan for stand up and food and drink as soon as this is all over.
Yes, please.
In June 2022.
Can't wait.
Thanks, Irene.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There. I want to give a special shout-out to our designated drivers. That's our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Dave Hoagland, and Troy Meacham. Thank you guys for your support of this podcast. If you want to check out our Patreon, go to patreon.com/Don't Make Me Come Back There. Also, if you have not already given us a rate or review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to these podcasts, then we would really appreciate that. Thank you guys so much.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.